horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Or is it Thursday? It's Thursday. All right. I'm punchy, I admit. And the week has been, actually, the week has flown by, frankly. That's why I thought it was Wednesday. How about that? The week's gone so fast. It's been such a great week that we want to add a day to it. I know Tina would be happy because she's on vacation, and she remarked already this morning. She said it's going to be hard to go to school on Monday because she's been waking up at 8:15. Good morning, Sirius 219, XM 201. Get that right. Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website, stevepick.com. Hard not to start again. The situation, I guess there's an end in sight now, with temperatures expected to moderate, Houston later in the hour. Dick Powell will join us first, but we'll talk to Frank. And I, you know, last week before all of this set in, I'd been looking forward, you know, to connecting with him and Chris Griffin, and had been looking forward to the Texas Day on Saturday. That's been shifted, you know, back a week to the 27th. They're going to do it the same way Laurel has with their Sprint Fest card, which is something, you know, the Northeast to look forward to. And, of course, NYRA had canceled for today with snow expected. There's only four, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's just four circuits running today, Gulfstream, and I saw Mike Welsh tweet that they're on the turf. Our friend Chad Schexnader in New Orleans just alerted me that they're off the turf in New Orleans, but they are running. There had been some concern that they would have to cancel today. It's been tough. But Fairgrounds runs off the turf. Gulfstream is on. And then what? You got Charlestown and Turfway. Turf Paradise. So four ovals today only. And things will slightly ratchet up into the weekend. I mentioned Laurel, and we'll revisit the Laurel Stakes. Certain tracks will, like Oaklawn, they're going to redraw, and in fact that schedule was announced yesterday. So when Andy asked me the other day about, you know, when are they running what, and I said, well, I don't think they said, and sure enough they hadn't said. They said it yesterday. The Saturday stakes will be the Southwest. This is next Saturday, the 27th. Southwest, the Razorback, and the Spring Fever will run on Saturday. And the Bayakoa, the Dixie Belle, and the Arkansas Bred down the Dusty Road on Sunday, the 28th. And they'll draw those races Tuesday and Wednesday Hammer tomorrow with more details and more from Sam Houston with Frank. Later in the hour. And, you know, I started to say that one of the things that we were excited about was all the good business news at Sam Houston. So we'll get to, you know, let Frank talk about how the purse boost came about, and all the good things that are going on, this situation notwithstanding, obviously. The get together yesterday, I really, starting with a chance to check in with Mattress Mack, and I saw where he tweeted again this morning. The main store opened, as he said, and people want to get warm and get a hot meal to go to the Gallery Furniture store. I put a picture, that picture I accompanied yesterday's listings of the show. I used, I was looking around for maybe for a horse-related picture, but more appropriate of Mac in the store. And yesterday's conversation with Dave Hill was so much fun, and I hope you had a chance to read both of his pieces. And we, you know, obviously we spent a little bit more time on the GameStop piece because there were so many working parts, but that's also true of the piece he wrote for ABR on Twitch. And you know, the, you know, alternative broadcasting possibilities for marketing the sport. So if you heard it this morning, let's say, or last night on the archive, etc., the links for both pieces are on my timeline. So thanks to Dave for the visit. It's so much fun to the way his mind works is pretty fascinating, and how he was able to so clearly explain the working parts of the GameStop story, because, you know, one of the things that made following it, kind of difficult and awkward was the working parts and understanding what the backdrop is with the puts and the calls and how this was all, as Dave actually referenced it, it looks like a Ponzi scheme, and there's a fine line between what goes on being illegal and not, the way he explained it, it made it so much easier to appreciate, particularly Michael McCaskill's story. And for those that haven't gotten to the story yet, and you're itching to know what the amount was, I was hinting $25 million. $25 million for McCaskill, and other amounts for members of his family that believed in his confidence in himself and the work that he put in. Literally for two plus decades to be in a position to basically set his family and his children for life. So it's a fabulous story. Make sure you read it. Bookmark it. I use Pocket. Pocket is terrific. I've hit the little. I almost use it too much. There's almost too many things I've got stored up to read. But make sure you read it. So thanks to Dave again. And yesterday was a lot of fun with Sid too, and Eddie and Seth. Seth went 3-for-4 again. He got tripped up in that maiden 16 claimer, the third leg. And I'm a little surprised actually that he missed that he left that Tim Ham winner off in that third leg at Tampa yesterday. Pick four only paid $70, but it's better than not cashing. This was a California Chrome filly, Catalia Roneth, that was 3-1 in the morning line, went off at 9-2, and wired the field. And that, the four and the six who Seth was going to lean on, they finished second and third. So, nice try. Good. They did almost $3 million yesterday at Tampa, and Gulfstream did 6 point something. With these limited options, people piling on. A couple of other notes as well. cross-country pick five will be Aqueduct in Tampa on Saturday, the 5th, 7th, and 8th at Aqueduct, and the 8th and 9th from Tampa. And, you know, I think the stakes actually, the 8th and the 9th at Tampa, but I think the stakes, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't actually look at the Tampa card, but I think that the stakes at Tampa are on Sunday this week for whatever reason. And I'm just going to check that. I know that they've got a pair of stakes, and here we go. Yeah, the Lightning City and the Turf Sprint. They're going to be on Sunday this week. So, and they'll actually have, other than that action at Tokyo, that Hyacinth, Tampa, and the Spring Fever, too, at Santa Anita. Speaking of the stakes schedule that released yesterday based on the draws, you got another state bred option in New York, the Maddie May. Got a nice, actually got a nice field for that. The Royal Delta down at Gulfstream got a field of eight in there, and kind of a mixed, kind of interesting mixed group going the mile and a 16th. Mrs. Danvers back for Shug. Bayesian girl, Rowan Crichton. And how about Eris 2, Arno Delacour for Ed Seltzer and Bev Anderson. Bob Edwards and Safi Joseph, Gibberish in there as well. Vicky Oliver and Watts Humphrey, High Regard. Field of Queen Nekia, too, for Safi. So he's got a pair in there. The Royal Delta, the feature at Gulfstream. How about the Buena Vista at Santa Anita, the grade two? Nice field of 10 there. How about Nasty for LNJ and Baltus, Red Lark in here. This is the, you know, the mile turf stake. And this was a Hollywood, right? This was a Hollywood Park standard, the Buena Vista. Personal favorite in here for Yakteen and George Krikorian, Mucho Unusual. A lot of the usual suspects lining up in this Buena Vista. Field of 10. And then, of course, you get to revisit that slate at Laurel with the Miracle Wood and the High Country for the three-year-olds and the John B. Campbell. Well, you know what? We'll talk to I hope we can talk to Tony today. I got a couple of things for him. Tony won himself some John B. Campbells and Nellie Morse's. And, of course, the Fritchie and the General George. So that whole slate of six races. And actually, you know, they run concurrently, the third through the eighth at Gulfstream, at Laurel. So there's your line on Saturday's action. Kind of a weird weekend that, you know, is missing some elements and including some rescheduled elements like Oaklawn. So we just gotta wait it out, right? And wait for the warmer temperatures to melt away the ice and snow, essentially. I want to get to, we're going to have Dick here momentarily. And before we do that, I do want to get the weekend's last chance, first chance conversation in. And NHC opportunities that came on Saturday. And I guess let's do the, we can do the last NHC 2021 participants. And they ended up able to give out eight seats. Matt Malley, Paul Cush, Luke Peltz, Tim Langua, Brian Schenvert, Mike Yaruso, Michael Samples, and Christoph Huttepan, your eight qualifiers, the last opportunity, the proverbial last chance, first chance that, you know, typically, you know, we'd run in Vegas. And then there's the first set of first chance qualifiers. And so far, I think there's 19 or 20 that have already qualified for next January, January 2022. Cheryl Knepper, Alistair Wahlbaum, Basil DeVito, can't stop him, Joe Johnson, and Jeff Arthur. They all were qualifiers over the weekend. And there was also a handful of, you know, of other opportunities. Ryan Flanders, and I reached out to Ryan. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to him and maybe to Tyler Hoffman as well, because the two of them, and of course, they've got the Trip Notes Pros product that is, you know, unique and is, you know, helping players whenever they, you know, really whenever the guys get, you know, the product out there for, you know, specific cards and race days, there's nuggets to be found. And obviously they're using it themselves to great advantage. Flanders has amazingly, there's been, what, 2 weeks, and he's already double qualified for 2022. I mean, the next year's tour hasn't, you know, the gates barely have opened. And Ryan's got both of his qualifications already in the back pocket. And Tyler, he knocked off at one so far. Pretty amazing. Other names that have already qualified, you know, we talked to Rich Averill last week, and he slipped in a 2022 qualifier. Jeff Arthur as well. Sally Goodall, Stefan Gravina, Jim Herron. Already mentioned, you know, a few of the, you know, Cheryl Knepper and Alistair and Basil and Joe and Jeff. But how about William Smith, Stephanie Schmidt, Neil Metzger, Greg Lewis, Alan Lefevre, Ryan Nutek, Kirk Kiever. I think that's everybody. Yeah, 19 qualifiers already for 2022. So I also see that Lauren Weiss and his son, Andrew, they managed to qualify too. They're pretty funny. They're amazing. It's about a year ago right now that we, or maybe a little bit, I guess it was a little bit later in the spring that we had them both on together. And of course, Andrew now, he can start to pile up the qualifications, because he's old enough. There was a period there where he was underage. So congratulations to everybody. Good work. And we'll come back with more. Let me see. I think that, in fact, I just heard from Ryan, and I think he's going to be able to join us. Yeah, nice. You got a nice note. He said he has never won like that back to back. But it does, you know. It's funny. We've talked about that in contest, you know, when in the contest environs, it seems when you get hot and you get dialed in, we see this, you know, where, you know, you'll see the same names. I talked about Kenny Jordan, you know, late in the year. It seemed like in November and December, every time I looked up, Kenny Jordan was in the top, you know, three or five, and cashing, you know, cashing contests. So, We'll catch up. We're gonna get Ryan on. So look forward to that. And also, I want to thank Papo Morales. Just sent me a note. Tampa moved the Sunday stakes to Wednesday, so they're gonna hold those two off until middle of next week. So, boy, the only domestic stake on Sunday is gonna be the Spring Fever. That's it. Wow. It's an unusual unusual circumstance. Case, let's get Dick in here. And actually, Frank Hopf just texted me. And we'll see. If Frank is ready now, I think we'll take him, Case. All right? And then we'll come back with Dick. Yeah, let me see if he's not in the office, I don't think. And God knows if anybody is in an office in Houston right now. I talked to Nick Tamaro yesterday, and Nick is bunking at the sister-in-law's. Nick's got no electricity and no water. So it's just a disaster. I asked Frank. Frank, I guess, is been fortunate on the water and power scenario. But water is a widespread problem, and the electric, is kind of a hit or miss. I asked Nick about his parents, and he said his folks have electricity but no water. So this is just a hardship for everybody. I wouldn't say that it's a good time for a vacation in Cancun either. Frank Hopf joins us from Sam Houston Race Park. And Frank, last week when I was looking forward to talking to Frank, I was excited because they had announced a purse increase because business has been so good. And then comes the hardship and the difficulties associated with this winter storm. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Frank, I'm good. Give us an update for you and friends, family, staff from Sam Houston.
Yeah, so we've been dealing with a lot of issues down here, but I think the biggest problem has been the power. It seems yesterday morning, power to the greater Houston area was at 41%. Fortunately, today it's up to 98%, so that means a lot of people are getting all their power back, which is certainly helpful because it's been a few days for a lot of people. Now, the other item everyone's dealing with down here is the water and the pipes bursting. We've got two more days of lows in the mid-20s, so we're still not out of it yet. It's 28 degrees right now here in Houston. So we still got a couple more days to go, but hopefully things are going to get better for most people down here.
Well, the literally once a century. I mean, there's been winter weather that has swept in here and there over the years. And I talked about this, early during the week. Read some things about that storm in 1895, but this is just a horrific situation, and it really obviously overshadows what was a lot of good news for SHRP, Frank. Let's get the good news in, and talk about how strong the January February business has been that allowed you to give a purse increase across the board.
Yeah, I mean, we've, up to this last week, everything's been going very well considering everything with COVID and just all the conditions out there. But, we had projected, a strong season going into this year. And, thanks to, horsemen and the players, horse players, we've been exceeding those projections, close to 40%. And that has allowed us to increase purses, now next week to the racing program here. So we're excited to do that. I think it's probably the first time in a very long time at Sam Houston we've been able to announce a purse increase, especially of this size.
Well, as we've discussed, going into the meet and then leading into Ladies Classic card and the great reception that that it got, and actually I talked to Chris, but I haven't talked to you since before the classic card, and you know, setting a a high bar in terms of a new handle record on that card.
Yeah, I mean, that day certainly could not have turned out any better. I thought the racing was great, you know, from an operational standpoint. Everything went, you know, very smooth. We tried new things. Everyone that's been helping us out did a fantastic job. So, you know, you couldn't ask for a better day of racing, really anywhere, but especially here at St. Houston.
Well, the horsemen respond to the offerings, and then the players respond to the aggressive pricing structure that Sam Houston has installed, and the success builds on itself, and you end up gathering momentum, and this is obviously a hiccup and a pause, but with the preview card from Saturday, basically you're going to shift the whole thing to the 27th.
Yeah, so we're going to move Texas Preview Day to the 27th. The stake races will not be redrawn, so they will be ready to go next Saturday night. And then we're working with we're taking entries today for next Wednesday, and in conversations with the Horsemen Association, we're willing to go up to 12 races every Wednesday and Thursday through the rest of the meet if entries warrant. So. We're going to try to make up some of these cancellations by adding more racing opportunities to the existing racing cards, and then we'll take a look at where we may go. We don't have a lot of flexibility at the back end of the schedule, but we'll certainly see what we can do if an extra day needs to be added.
Now, and is that something you'd have to probably run that by the racing commission?
Yeah, that'd be something we would have to. Send a request if we went that direction, but that won't be too challenging to have happen if it does.
No. The commission's actually, that's one thing. There's plenty of things very frequently to critique about the way regulators operate. The one thing we've learned though over the past calendar year. With the pandemic, they've been very helpful and flexible, and have worked with racetracks coast to coast, solve problems.
That is correct.
Well, we'll look forward, obviously, to getting back going. In the meantime, Frank, best wishes to everybody down there, all the staff. In terms of training and things, is everybody just tack walking? No training in the mornings?
Yeah, right now that's where we're at. I've been to the track the last couple of days, and obviously that track surface still has some ice on there, and it rained all day most of yesterday, and it got down to the upper 20s, obviously. So once we can get the ice fully melted, then we'll be able to start working on that track and make sure it's safe before we, open up for training. But with us not racing this week, we'll take a look at maybe some afternoon training. Or just try to get an opportunity for the horses to get on the track. Hopefully by Saturday would be my guess at this point, because the weather should be back up in the 50s and the lows in the 40s. So, nice. But we do need to spend some time on that track to get it ready and make it safe.
Well, for next Saturday for the preview, the two Altozano and the H-Town, there's the turf stake. Assuming that the turf is thawed out and okay on that front, there's the Jim's Orbit and the Miss Blue Bonnet turf. Those drew nicely, and they'll stay intact. And then the racing office will fill in with when you lose dates like this, you end up with some terrific cards with overflow field. So we'll have a lot to look forward to. Frank, keep everybody safe and best wishes.
All right, Steve. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Not at all. Frank Hopf, everybody, from Sam Houston. And the Saturday card shifted to the 27th. So they're essentially, at least the stakes, moving. The rest of it will be reoriented, and they'll fill in. That had been scheduled for a 10-race card, and as Frank just referenced, they might end up like with a 12-pack for a few different days, Wednesday and Thursday next week and so forth. Wanted to make sure, though, to congratulate him on what has been a outstanding season. Very much a winter success story that I think is parallel to what's gone on in Indiana. Very nice, Sam Houston. Let's do this. Let's take a break here, Case, and we'll come back with Dick Powell, talk some Hong Kong. I'm not following what's going to go on Saturday on principle when it comes to Saudi Arabia. But Dick, who worked with their jockey club, certainly familiar, and I'll let Dick discuss it because I'm sure many of you are interested in it. I find it troubling. Back after this, Dick Powell.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
938-4643. Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
A trip on a bus that I didn't know. Met a girl selling drinks at the disco. Said truth comes back when you let it go. Seems complicated cause it's really so simple. Walking down Young Street on a Friday. Can't follow them, gotta do it my way. No fast lane, still on the highway. Moving in and out, no doubt there's a bright day. No time to get down cause I'm moving up. No time to get down cause I'm moving up. No time to get down cause I'm moving up. Shake off the grass in the bucket.
We're back at the races, 25 minutes to top of the hour, and I think we're going to talk to Ryan Flanders next hour, and Tony Black, of course, Steve Askin, Rich Ang on this Thursday, and Dick Powell stepping in with a limited North American calendar this weekend, but the international elements, including the Hyacinth, as Ed DeRosa pointed out yesterday, the Hyacinth on Sunday in Tokyo race course, a derby scoring race, and Hong Kong, of course, before that, and Saturday, as mentioned, Saudi Arabia. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Just, you know, kind of watching, you know, watching the things unfold the way they have across, you know, Texas and the wide swath of the country, you know, and knowing what, you know, for those of us that live in cold weather, you know, on a going basis, you can just see how overwhelming this scenario is for people, and you really just feel awful. I saw somebody ask about, you know, what's the longest anybody has experienced, you know, themselves, you know, like a power, you know, power outage. And that ice storm that we had from here, you know, New England through Quebec in 98 was devastating. I mean, there were people on the South Shore in Montreal, South Shore, you know, south, literally all the way up, you know, all the way up to Eastern Canada, that didn't have power for, you know, 6 weeks, with, you know, the toppling of high tension wires. And, you know, I lived downtown in Montreal, and we didn't have power for 3.5 days in the city, and you had a fireplace. And it was, by the third day, it was tough. And I remember as a kid in 1970, I looked it up, it was 1973, living in Connecticut. And there was an ice storm in New England, and we didn't have power for 8 days. And we ended up having to abandon the house and stay in a hotel in West Springfield for like 5 nights. After we stayed in the house 2 nights with no, and my dad and I would drive back to Manchester, and my dad had an oxyacetylene blowtorch and walk through the house with it to warm the house up every day so pipes wouldn't burst. And I was like 13 at the time, but I can just imagine, you know, and it was, you know, it was cold. I mean, you've got to remember both of these incidents.
Yes. I remember with that ice storm, what you were referring to, New York State had the airlift generators up to the North Country because these farmers had no power and they can't run their milking machines, they couldn't do all sorts of stuff. And I mean, what you're seeing on the news is the implications of what happens when these things go wrong and how many implications there are, not just being cold or sitting in the darkness or anything else like that. It's just, you know, pharmacy and storage and just crazy, crazy stuff. So, yeah, it's horrifying to watch. But thank God, I got to tell you, Jim McIntyre, I would root for every run happy horse who ever runs. That man deserves nothing but the best for what he always steps in. It's just instinct on his part. At any time the city of Houston has any kind of problem, there's Mac helping out, doing all sorts of stuff. And, you know, that's just fantastic to see. But just areas totally unprepared for that kind of weather. No salt, no plows, no this, no that. I remember the Super Bowl was in Dallas maybe 6-8 years ago, and they had ice. And people were able to get there and then couldn't even go anywhere. They were just stuck in the hotel. But the roads were so bad, they were able to play the game. But just when those areas get that kind of weather for any length of time, and it's been way too long now, it's just devastating. So, yeah, we have our share of crazy weather up here, but we're also way more prepared for it, used to it. You know, the plows are out, the salters are out, you know, it gets taken care of because that's part of the deal living up here. But other places, no. And when they get hit, it's nasty.
Yeah, I wish everybody just wish everybody the best, and we'll check in with Hammer tomorrow. Hot Springs got more snow. I saw Oklahoma, too, got more. And you can see the sliding scale moving upwards in terms of temperatures, but it's going to take until Saturday, Sunday, I think it looks like, for a lot of these, you know, for a lot of these hit areas to, you know, begin a thaw. Then you're going to have, I imagine, well, you've already seen the images. I mean, the water pouring out of apartment buildings, you know, with pipes bursting and craziness. Best wishes to everybody. Stay safe. You know, you got all kinds of, there's going to be repairs. It'll certainly keep the house improvement type businesses busy. I mean, there's going to be walls torn up and you know, pipes to repair and unbelievable. So good luck to everybody over that. Brutal. Dick, how about a survey? I'll leave. I guess I can't completely ignore it, but you know, much like last year, I have no interest in promoting what's going to go on Saturday in Riyadh. So you worked with them, and you know what you know, the details. I'll let you talk about the draw and the participation.
Well, I was involved in the initial planning for the Saudi Cup. At that point, it was just a concept. Was over there for 8 days in the summer of, I want to say 2019, but it might have been 2018. And I was bullish on $20 million purse. That if we're going to go big, go big. And not just to be the biggest purse in racing, but what I did, and I'm patting myself on the back here, but a lot of this was my doing. I came up with a purse structure where the winner only gets 50%, $10 million only. But I wanted the fifth place horse to get $1 million. So that there's just, even if you don't win, you're going to do well. And then all expenses paid. And by that, I mean all the starting fees, everything. Because a lot of these big races, once you get to the race, you've got starting fees. Well, this has none. So that concept was embraced. We did not maintain the relationship. They wound up going with the International Racing Bureau. They handled the operation, which is fine with me. I wish I'd have been involved as a consultant because they did have some issues last year that I think I could have helped, and some issues this year I think I could have helped, but they've gone down that path. The mile and an eighth, one-turn nature of the race is great because post position is not the factor that it is on a race such as Pegasus World Cup or even the Dubai World Cup going into that first turn. You draw outside, draw way outside. It's a big disadvantage. Well, in this race, you get a long run into the first turn. It's a big first and only turn, big wide sweeping turn. So post is not an issue, which is what we wanted to have. If someone's willing to ship halfway around the world and, you know, take this risk of going there, the risk to ship any horse that length of distance. At least post positions are not going to trip you up when the race is drawn. So the races were drawn yesterday, and it kind of came out pretty formful.
When he was introduced, and the Korean Racing Authority, the Ben Colebrook, you know, said that they were referring to him as Knix, but I think, you know, everybody is sort of taken on the Knicks-go, you know, as an easy way to just simplify him.
Especially now that Tom Thibodeau has us back up to 15-15. Knicks are playing some good basketball. But Knicks-go will be right out there. Charlatan will be right out there. Pacifist will probably be stalking somewhere mid-pack. The other horses, they're tough to figure because you don't know much about them. But it should just be a fascinating race because you have two horses that want the same thing. They want to control the race. They don't necessarily want to be in the lead. And Charlatan can control a race from the wider draw. He could just sit there and stalk, and then, you know, Nick Stowe would be the one who'd have to respond and let it out a notch and stuff like that. But I think Nick Stowe is fast enough to just open up on him if Joel wanted to. So I think that part's just going to be fascinating to watch, and they'll have their pageantry and things like that. And it was fun to watch last year. I sent you a picture of the one thing that they do, and they do this in other countries where the people with the horse, the strapper and the assistant trainer and stuff, wear the same colors as the jockey. So it's a real point of pride that you have the colors of the jock and the two people on either side of the horse with the same colors on. And I think that just gives a great visual, things like that. The paddock's kind of crowded, so it's a little bit of chaos. But it's kind of like Matt Alshiba used to be. Now Maidan is so vast. You don't have those issues, so it should be a fun race to watch. It might even be a decent race to bet, depending on where the money goes. But I'll be watching. And the undercard looks good, also, and miraculously, a turf course was installed and still looks good and green. And everyone raved about that last year. The main track, everyone has raved about the main track for years. So that's never been a problem. And that's also a comfort level where you're asking people to ship horses into unknown environments. Safety and surface integrity and things like that are just paramount. So those things have been in place and should be... It should be quite a race with the two Americans out there, ding dong and on the lead.
Nice. Appreciate it. Turn our attention to, in fact, let's save, we'll save Hong Kong for next. Turn our attention as well to Tokyo. And I'm glad Ed brought it up yesterday with the opportunity on the Japanese road to the Derby, but the Hyacinth Stakes on Sunday.
I have not seen entry to that, Steve.
No, so. I've not either, and maybe today. So just, you know, okay. Just be aware that.
Well, and what's funny is when you, like, I'll be looking at TVN at night, and they'll have entries coming up. American bred horses in Japan. It's like American Pharoah, Tappet. They're all big time yearling types of broodmares in foal that went over there and dropped these tremendous American bred horses. And then they'll breed back to their home stallions who are equally terrific and all that. But you're definitely going to see some familiar pedigrees. And the American Pharoahs have gone over there and have handled the dirt very well. Now, over here, you know, it's interesting because American Pharoah is kind of becoming a turf sire, and there's pluses and minuses to that. And but in Japan, it seems every time I look up, when I see an American Pharoah winning over there, it's on their dirt surface. So hopefully someone can come out of the race that will come over for our derby. And that just creates just tremendous interest over there for the Kentucky Derby when one of their horses are able to go. So, yes, and hope, you know, get through the process. They have their own point system on that road to the Derby, and hopefully the horse with the most points has been nominated, is eligible, and the owners decide to come. But it lends a terrific aspect to the Kentucky Derby, and, you know, these are good, solid horses. So it's not like anyone's letting them in the race, you know, denying anyone else the spot. These are good horses that deserve to be there.
Well, and this was the Hyacinth was the race, if I'm not mistaken, last year when and you mentioned American Pharoah, there was the Paul Pompa bred Cafe Pharoah that won the Hyacinth last year, and there, you know, right away there was some, you know, murmuring and some excitement over the prospects potentially, you know, of that colt coming over. And I've not seen anything since the end of last year. He ran in that Champions Cup at Chukyo, and that's the last. I'm not sure what, you know, what his status is as an older horse, but this was the coming out party that the Hyacinth for Cafe Pharaoh.
Yes. Hopefully we'll have some good run. Their dirt racing is very, very good, and it's not. I think way back, dirt racing was looked at as a secondary surface, and now with the international pedigrees they have, especially the amount of American pedigrees that they have in the gene pool, dirt racing has gotten much, much better.
And I just went to, I don't know how helpful this is going to be, but I have gone to the Japan to Tokyo race course, and it's a JRA. They're racing structured a little bit differently, right? They've got like a major league and a minor league.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The major league is weekends. Minor leagues are pretty much during the week. Like last night, there was racing from Tokyo, but it was Tokyo Chiba race course, not the major league course.
Interesting. Yeah, they're a little, you know, they're a little insular at maybe more so than anywhere. It seems that the Japanese racing. So we'll keep an eye on the Hyacinth field and. Let's see what comes of that.
The thing is, it works. They're very insular, very restricted, very closed. But they're betting $30 billion a year.
Yeah.
And they don't have leakage. They don't have their people betting other people's races and things like that, with very few exceptions. And they've taken the long game approach with pedigrees and importing stallions and building up their own breeding industry, and just very difficult to even get an owner's license over there or open up a farm or do any of these things. So they've developed a tremendous product, and it's a product that competes on the world stage. They're very game as far as, you know, going places and trying the best horses in the world and stuff. But the betting they've maintained pretty tight, and it's just a huge success.
Brings us around to the Hong Kong action. And let's catch up from last week's before we look ahead to Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Okay. The stewards kind of caught my notice. last Sunday, they gave out suspensions, and Jerry Chow, who was the apprentice rider, very, very good. But unfortunately, he's under a microscope. So he gets two more days suspension from Sunday's racing at Sha Tin. He's out now February 24th and March 1st. Old Jerry comes back yesterday in the fourth race. He draws the outside in a 1,200-meter sprint where they have that little elbow turn before they head down the backstretch, and he's on the outside. He has a speed horse, Mercurial. He can't get over. He's looking. Well, finally, he drops over. A couple of horses have to be checked and steady. He wins the race, goes gate to wire, and the stewards have given him a 3-meet suspension now. So now he has 5 days of suspension coming up, which is just a huge amount of business. $40,000 fine, $40,000 Hong Kong, but still, divide that by seven, that's still a big fine. He's had 5 suspensions, so the more this happens, the tighter they're going to call things on him. He's not getting any benefits of the doubt or anything. And that's just interesting. Yeah. Like, I think the kid, kid is terrific, but man, I don't know why he did what he did yesterday. He wasn't going to get over. You know, the other horses inside of him were sprinting hard, and you know they weren't going to let him over. So he just can't do what he did. And just it was made that very clear after the race. So Jerry's going to be out 5 days coming up in the end of February, half of March, and hopefully we can stay out of the penalty box there. But they also gave out suspensions to Tony Patone and Derek Lung, and Derek had been riding extremely well. He had a triple one day recently. And he's been just having almost a career year over in Hong Kong, but he wound up getting a two-day suspension, so 2 days of the week. So you don't want to lose that momentum. But star yesterday was Matthew Poon, who had three winners. Not a big surprise, and not also a big surprise that one of them paid $63.
Amazing. Amazing.
The man that just keeps bringing in these prices. He did have a
it's unbelievable.
11 of them. It's you know, over a two-year period. That crazy. It's not just, oh yeah, a couple of long shots makes the ROI look good. No, Matthew Poon somehow consistently, not every day, not every week, but you bet all his horses, you're showing a profit, and that's over a two-year period. So that's just amazing. Sunday, big night. Go to the website. When you go to HKJC, there's a microsite on the main page which has all sorts of detailed information on the three big races, the Hong Kong Gold Cup, second leg of the Hong Kong Triple Crown, the Queen's Silver Jubilee Cup, second leg of the Speed Series, both of those are Group 1, and the Hong Kong Classic Cup, which is the second leg of the four-year-old Classic Series. Get my stuff here. Race 3 is going to kick off the Queen's Silver Jubilee Cup, and the trainer, Casper Founds, decided, well, I keep knocking heads with Golden 60, where he's going on a mile and a quarter. I'm going to go back to 7 furlongs. So he dropped Sudden Legend down to 7 furlongs. Now, all three of these races are weight for age. They're all carrying the same weight. But the form guide does give you their handicaps. So obviously the one horse, even though it's weight for age, the one horse is the highest rated horse in the field. So it's drawn, the program numbers are assigned as if it were a handicap, but it's not. But it gives you an indication of who the top horses are. Sudden Legend is the high-weighted horse. I'm going to go here, Steve, with number 6, Champion's Way. He beat Sky Darcy 2 back, and Sky Darcy came back and was the favorite in the first leg of the four-year-old series. He got beat. He'll be back again Saturday night, Sunday morning. Champion's Way is a nice 5-year-old. Last time out, he had almost like an inexcusable trip, kind of slow early, and then he just never really kicked on. Now, that race finished up fast. That was the race that I'll talk about with Golden 60. But he meets no Golden 60s in this race. He does draw the 9. This is a race around one turn, but he has some pace. I think he can get mid-pack. Alexis Bedell is going to ride this one with John Tsai. So kick off the Queen's Silver Jubilee Cup in race number 3 with number 6, Champion's Way. That moves us up to race number 7, which is the City Hong Kong Gold Cup. This is a mile and a quarter. We did have one scratch coming into the race. High Rise is out. So we're left with a field of 7, and the overwhelming favorite, probably go up at 1-9 or 1-5, will be number 1, Golden 60. He just keeps amazing. Now, his last race, at first glance, you see he won by a head. And it's like, it didn't look that impressive. Well, he came home 21-4, last half in 44.18, and the saddle slipped in the stretch. If you see the finish line picture, the girth is coming back. Now, it's coming back about a foot. If it comes way back, then he becomes a Buck and Bronco, and it's a disaster. But the saddle was slipping, and Vincent Hall said it didn't affect him that much, but it affected him. He wasn't able to ride him with hands and heels as much as he would like. So I'm sure they're going to tighten the girth this coming Sunday. I don't see any of these horses really having a chance, other than Exultant, who won this race before, won it in 2019. You know, he's a top horse going mile and a quarter, maybe, with Zach Purton and Tony Cruz. So that'll be a nice matchup between those two. I'm going to play my Quinella in here. I'm going to go Golden 60-1, and I'm going to play him with Time Warp, the 6. Now, Time Warp is one of these horses. He's going to go to the front. He's going to open up, and then we'll see if he hangs on. Well, at a mile and a quarter, going two turns, drew the rail. I think he has a chance of hanging on. He's done it in the past. He hasn't been doing it lately, but he's dangerous on the front end, and all we're asking him to do is if he can please hang on for a second at a decent price, maybe he can set up like a $12 Quinella with the heavy favorite. The Golden 60, once again, he's 15 out of 16 lifetime. He's now second highest rated active horse in the world. And those latest ratings, because all horses above him have all retired. So another group one here, maintain that rating, maybe move him forward. And he has a couple more group ones coming up in April. That'll really fortify his place among the world's best horses. So Golden 60, race number 7, fun race to watch, maybe not necessarily the bet. Race number 8, race number 9, excuse me, they skipped to 9, and that is the Hong Kong Classic Cup for 4-year-olds. Now, this group of 4-year-olds have not impressed me. I just haven't been enamored with the who these horses are and how well they might be developing. I'm going to go with number 3, Lucky Express. Now, being number 3, that means he's the third rated horse in the race. Sky Darcy, number 1, is the highest rated. Excellent Proposal, number 2, is next. I like Lucky Express stretching out to the mile and an eighth. Now, this is a one-turn mile and eighth. They fell way on the backstretch, so you don't have to worry about too much here, post position. But I think from an inside post, he can just set up, get cover, gallop along, gallop along, gallop along. I think it's probably going to be modestly paced. I don't see anyone trying to steal the race. Maybe the 5, Lucky Patch. And keep an eye on number 10, Russian Emperor. He's had 2 starts. Last time he dropped back to 7 furlongs. So I think now he's starting to get serious, because I think the next race going the mile and a quarter will be his big shot in this 4-year-old series. That's the Son of Galileo. That ain't no grind, it's a train. But for now, not really being enamored with this group of 4-year-olds yet. We're going to try to beat them with number 3, Lucky Express. John Size, he's had a phenomenal record over the years in these kind of races, and Carrot Keaton will be the writer. Midnight post time, Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific time, 7 races on the turf, 3 on the all-weather track.
Well, another nice slate, and I do admire I admire the HKJC trying to manufacture an opponent for Golden 60. They're yeah. Obviously the Beauty Generation team, has packed it in. He did all he could, but now Exultant is is being trotted out as the you know, I don't want to call him a tomato can, but it I mean, this Golden 60 story is, I mean, really worldwide. He's a buzzsaw. It's pretty remarkable what he's doing.
And what's great is he's all his starts have come in Hong Kong, trained by a Hong Kong trainer, ridden by a Hong Kong rider who went through that jockey apprentice school and is doing terrific work over there. So, you know, once again, I hate to keep bringing it up, but wow, wouldn't it be great if the stands were filled and spectators screaming for the home team? Because, I mean, when these great horses race, No one really cares about the price. When Deep Impact used to race in Japan, they had part of the TV screen only on Deep Impact. And even at 1-5, the price would just go absolutely crazy with Deep Impact. So I know they bet. I'm not saying they don't, because obviously they do. They make us look like tigers. But they also love their heroes. And then Golden 60 is the new hero in town, 12 in a row, and that last race was way better than it looked.
Deck, international marketplace, going to be a big part, I think, of the weekend, obviously, and we appreciate, you know, you keeping track for everybody, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Deck Powell, everybody, and I've sent out the link to the microsite and also to, you know, DRF. We should really mention this every week. DRF has got that international section that has free PPs and you know, an array of offerings. Then there's analysis from international pundits, whether it's Australia or Australasia, the whole gamut. So bookmark that, because it I think it's an underutilized resource. And also, let me slip this in before we take the break. We're going to be joined by Ryan Flanders, as promised, next. But as we move into hour two, I do want to mention that Naira Betts, I don't get to this nearly as often as I should, but all the weekend action internationally, as well as domestically, available. And Naira Betts app has got an opportunity for you to sign up if you haven't. Up till now, you've got a free play, $20 bonus for a $25 bet on the Saturday morning action. And use a promo code, Steve200. You can do this anytime if you're not doing it this weekend. But Steve200, and you get a $200 sign-up bonus when you join Naira Betts. And I should really, on a weekly basis, remind you of this, because it, you know, if you aren't playing yet on Naira Betts, and as we explained over the last few weeks, you know, for those that want to utilize, you know, particularly if you're racing New York and you have horses, it makes more sense for you, because the contribution to purses and capital improvement significantly higher with Naira Betts. Let's take a time out here, come back and talk to Ryan Flanders, who managed to be the first contest player in the country to double qualify already for 2022. Amazing. Ryan joins us after this. Tony Black, Steve Haskin, Rich Angyet this morning at the races, SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Sirius XM Sports presents...